Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, also writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, coming to you guys on this Wednesday, a game day for the New Orleans Pelicans as they take on the Dallas Mavericks in the Smoothie King Center tonight, normal time, 7 o'clock, in a game they really kind of need to win if, you know, you still think, I don't think it anymore, if you still think, though, that they have playoff chances. Dallas is actually ahead of them in the standings, so this is where the Pels can kind of jump up there and at least gain a game on somebody. Probably not going to be Portland or Denver, but hey, getting ahead of the Mavericks for all intents and purposes is still an accomplishment, though at this point it hurts the lottery odds and the chances of getting a top three pick in the NBA draft and the lottery. So I'm going to preview that game for you guys on the second half of the podcast. The first part, I'm going to be talking Jrue Holiday. The Pelicans have a big decision coming up with him. Are they going to give him a near max deal, whatever it's going to be, to keep him here in the Crescent City? And he's been a bit of a mixed bag in his tenure here in New Orleans. We're going to dive into some of the stats here. I'm going to also talk about some more of it tomorrow. But I'm not seeing this as cut and dry as I would have at the start of the season, or even, say, right around the All-Star break, with him being considered part of the Pelicans' big three of Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. I'll give you my reasons why and more on this edition of Locked On Pelicans. So let's just dive into it with Jrue Holiday and some of the topics I want to cover today regarding him. So Holiday, in his tenure with New Orleans, has had a bit of an up and down year. Obviously, the injuries are what caused the down stuff earlier in his tenure here after the trade, giving up two first-round picks for him to basically be the next big player next to Anthony Davis. And he's been hurt. There was all that stuff with Philly, with the stress fracture in his leg, and maybe they were hiding something, and they ended up having to pay the Pelicans, you know, whatever amount of money, $3 million plus, I think it was, over this, after the league got involved and investigated some whatever shady things were going on. But, you know, last season, he seemed to put those leg injuries that away from him, behind him. His season ended early because he broke an orbital bone in his face, but that's not tied to that. Up and down, then, of course, he had the family issues to start this year, which are tragic, but you're not really going to hold that against him. That wouldn't be a fair thing to do as well. And since he's come back, though, largely the Pelicans have been better. They've been playing a shade under 500 basketball since he's returned to the team. And if they had kept that kind of stretch up all year long in that type of form and that record, they'd easily be in the A seed right now, and you wouldn't really need to worry about these final games. And even leading into the All-Star break, Holiday was playing at a near All-Star level. He was averaging 21.8 points in the 13 games leading into the All-Star break, shooting 55.6% from the field, averaging 8.4 assists, on a usage rate that wasn't much higher than what he was doing before that, and he was averaging about 5 more points per game, shooting about 10% higher and averaging almost a full assist more. So that was pretty impressive play since then, and it was very impressive. He looked more decisive, and the Pelicans' small ball lineup and having people hit some shots really spaced the court a whole lot better for him. And Jrue is his best when he's not trying to be a pure point guard and he's not trying to facilitate the offense. He kind of just hits his gear and goes towards the hoop and puts the ball on the ground and dribbles and then creates off of that or works in the pick and roll with Davis, and he was doing that really well. And then after the All-Star break, it's been like he fell off a cliff where he's been struggling. And a lot of that is, you know, the DeMarcus Cousins trade and the blueprint for the Pelicans has changed. And it's been a very different offense, at least in the half court. They still play in transition, but it's not exactly the same. The reads aren't the same. He doesn't have the same space to attack like he once did. And that spacing issue led to a lot of the turnovers he was having right after the All-Star break. And if you remember, he was having 7 turnover games, 6 turnover games. His turnover percentage in the advanced stats of the NBA.com stats page was much higher than what his season average was. And it forced the Pelicans to make a change and start on their March 19th game that Sunday. They had to start Tim Frazier in at point guard and kind of move Holiday to a two guard, or at least put, you know, the combo other point guard in the backcourt with him to help him out and try and cut down on those turnovers. But those turnovers were largely due to the spacing issues. There were more guys in the paint to try and cover Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins. They weren't going as small as they had once done. And again, they didn't have more shooters on the perimeter. And so it's going to be an interesting situation to see going forward. So it leads a lot of the question, can he fit into this offense with everything? And it's pretty tough because the Pelicans have to make a decision in about 2 months on Holiday and whether they're ready to commit $24+ million or whatever he's going to command in the free agency market to him. And it's not an easy call, and one that I'm glad I don't have to personally make, though I'd gladly take the money and be an NBA GM and have to make these tough decisions. But it's not going to be an easy one, and it's going to kind of determine the fate of this franchise going forward. So what are some of those problems? And part of it is with the spacing issues. It doesn't let Drew be Drew. And like we said, he needs to drive, be a spot-up shooter, and not be the facilitator. So since the trade and DeMarcus Cousins being here in New Orleans, Holiday's drives per game are actually fewer than what they were before. So again, less room to operate, less room to get to the hoop, so he's not going to do it as much. So his drives are going down. And on the drives he does do, he's actually turning the ball over about double what he was doing before. So he's driving less, and he's turning the ball over more on those drives than he did before. That's a problem, and I don't know if that's necessarily going to get fixed. That spacing's not going to change too much there. So Holiday is going to have to be just kind of a lesser version of himself, and if you're the Pelicans, that's going to scare you a little bit. So those turnovers were a problem, and maybe part of it was just get the ball out of his hand, don't ask him to do too much, and that was kind of what spurred the Pelicans to do by starting Tim Frazier in the backcourt with him. But when you start to really look at those on-court, off-court, backcourt numbers with him and Frazier, it starts to change your perspective of it a little bit because, frankly, it's not as good as you think. It's good in one area, and I'm going to share that with you all. But before I do that, I do want to mention SeatGeek to you guys. There's 4 Pelicans home games left this year. Make sure you guys are in on the action, and SeatGeek is the best way to do that. I've told you before, I personally used it. I've used it to get a bunch of my friends in for a bachelor party to a Pelicans game. I used it with my girlfriend to get last-minute amazing deals on Saints games, including that Monday night game, the 10th anniversary of the Gleason block against the Atlanta Falcons. So for, you know, SeatGeek, they're a site aggregator, a ticket aggregator. They're going to pull tickets from all around, basically give you the best price on there. They're going to, you know, it could be listed for different things in different places. Make sure you get the best value for your money. They're even going to rate the tickets for you to let you know what is a good deal. And for Locked On Pelicans listeners, we've actually got a promo running with SeatGeek where if you go to the Play Store or the iTunes Store, wherever you download your apps from, download the SeatGeek app today. Go to Settings, enter promo code, and put in LO Pelicans, as in Locked On Pelicans, LO Pelicans. You're going to get a $20 rebate for making a purchase you were going to make anyway. Make sure you catch the end of the Boogie in the Browse season here in New Orleans. Make sure you're in on the action. And again, download the SeatGeek app today, put in the promo code LO Pelicans, and I'll see you all at the games. So the Pelicans make the move to start Frazier and Holiday together, and it does improve something quite dramatically and right off the bat, and that's the turnovers that Holiday was suffering from before they made this move when he was starting in the backcourt with one of the myriad of 10-year guys, whether it was Wayne Selden or whoever it was. Hollis Thompson was the other one that really got a bunch of starts there. But since they've made this move, the backcourt, and you can search this yourself if you want to follow along with me, you just got to go to the NBA.com stats site where I pull most of my data from, and you can do some on-court, off-court searching. So Holiday's numbers on court with Tim Frazier, when they're both on the court at the same time, he's got an insane turnover ratio of just 4. Basically, that's 4 turnovers per, I think, 100 possessions, something like that. Just, it's non-existent. It's very impressive. With Frazier off the court, that number jumps to 13, so it's significantly more turnovers when he's not sharing a backcourt with Tim Frazier. But here's where it gets kind of interesting. The rest of the numbers don't look nearly as good as I would have expected them to based off the eye test and what I've seen. And I've started to realize maybe why this is, so we're going to talk about it some more. So the offensive rating with them both on the court is very good. It's 109.4, a defensive rating of 104.6, so higher than the Pelicans would ideally like. Part of that is Tim Frazier just isn't a great defender. It gives them a net rating of 4.8, pretty good. Off court, though, the net rating when Holiday's on and Frazier's off is still 4.1. They don't score as much, but they're giving up 6 fewer points per 100 possessions. So it's a comparable net rating for Holiday when he's not out there with Tim Frazier, which is a little bit interesting. And then you look at the scoring numbers, and I'm doing this per 100 possessions to basically adjust it for pace and keep everything fair here. So on the court, when it's Frazier and Holiday both on the court, Holiday scoring 21.4 points per 100 possessions. So, decent number. But when Frazier's off the court and it's just Holiday out there by himself, that number is still 20.2. So you're not even looking at a 2-point differential. His field goal percentage is actually worse when Frazier is on the court by about 5%. His three-point shooting goes up because he's asked to be a spot-up shooter a little bit more. That's kind of good, and he's taking more attempts. And, of course, the turnovers are going to be down. But the assist numbers are also largely the same. Per 100 possessions when they're both on the court, Holiday averages 9.8, so basically 10 assists. When Frazier's off the court and Holiday is on, it's 9.2, so a very comparable number. The only difference is the turnovers, where it drops from 4.4 without Frazier to 1.3 with Frazier on. That's significant, yeah. But the steals go down, blocks go down. It's very odd that basically other than turnovers, Holiday is the same or worse without Tim Frazier. And why I'm looking at these numbers with Tim Frazier and Drew Holiday together is because one of the big prevailing theories, and I thought it for a while too, and I still largely think it, is that maybe you don't want Holiday as your primary ball handler, your main point guard. You want to put him out there with a combo guard or a true point guard to kind of let Holiday be Holiday. But if he's not really changing or not improving a whole lot, why are we doing this in the first place? You know, why would you pair him with a guy like Patty Mills or Ricky Rubio? A, Rubio might not be the best fit because he's not a good three-point shooter, so it spaces the court even worse when you'd have a lineup of Rubio, Holiday, say Solomon Hill, Davis, and Cousins. All of a sudden, Holiday's got even less room to drive because Rubio's guys are going to be sagging off because he's not a threat from three-point range. Patty Mills can at least shoot threes. That's a good thing there. He's a guy I like a lot. Someone whose name's probably going to get brought up on this podcast here as we get closer to the offseason. But I'm not convinced that pairing him with a point is going to all of a sudden unlock Holiday or make him a whole lot better. It doesn't change the spacing on the court a ton. So it makes you wonder if the Pels should really spend all this money on Holiday when you kind of put him next to a guy right now, say a poor man's version of what you think is going to unlock him, and the numbers are almost better when he's not playing with that guy, minus the turnovers. So the Pels are really in a tough spot. Maybe it's better to not pay him $24 million, keep whatever it would be, the $16 million in cap room you save, let's say, from it, and going after a Rubio-type guy, and then maybe a better shooting two-guard to put out there and see if that works and run your offense a little bit more through DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. Maybe rather than trying and hoping that Holiday becomes the third all-star with the two bigs, you go for more depth from top to bottom and upgrade two positions rather than keeping Holiday in one position. It's going to be an interesting decision. And I'm not alone in thinking this. Coach Nick, when he was on the podcast last Friday, and I were talking off air, and I know some of it made it on there too, saying he thinks the Pelicans are going to regret whatever contract they hand out to Holiday. And I think this is something that's kind of a prevailing theory, though, in the minority on it. And, you know, one of the things he said was when Holiday made the All-Star team when he was in Philly, I think he was like 22, 23, whatever, at a very young age. You know, one, he made that because John Wall was out, and it was kind of a down year for point guards in the Eastern Conference. So there was an opportunity for someone to fill in there. But he said he looked at it and he did a video on this. And Holiday had very, very good games against the bottom defenses in the league and then struggled when he played the top defenses in the league. It's kind of a damning stat. And so I've looked into it a little bit here, and some people have helped me out with this. Thank you. They know who they are. You're getting shout-outs here on the podcast. And so looking at some of his plus minuses and his better games, have really come against the bottom defenses in the league, the bottom teams. And then he struggled when it comes to plus minus against the top teams. It's almost all a negative. And the Pels haven't been a great team all year. They haven't had DeMarcus Cousins all year, so that's not necessarily a surprise. But even when you look at him playing the top teams, it's predominantly negative, and against the bottom teams, for the most part, it's positive. It's not a slam dunk there either, which goes to show you he's been a bit of a mixed bag. And that's going to come in the article more on Thursday for bourbonstreetshots.com. But all of a sudden, you know, when you really dive into it and think about holiday plays and watch it, has he really impacted a game? Yeah, you can get 20 points from him, you know, potentially on a given night, but it's not always like that. You'd rather get a little bit more consistency out of that position. Maybe someone who can get the ball to Davis and Cousins a little bit more, make better entry passes so that Cousins can play in the low post a whole bunch more than he has. You know, the Pels, though, might not really have a choice other than to give him this kind of deal because there's not really a ton of big option replacements out there. And if they don't really have a clear plan going forward, it's going to be tough to sell a fan base on letting one of the guys who you traded 2 first-round picks for walk. So don't envy the Pelicans and their decision on Drew Holiday this offseason. So I want to shift gears for a little bit here quickly to touch on the Dallas Mavericks in the game tonight in the Smoothie King Center. Like I said before, 7 o'clock. Dallas is currently the 10th seed in the Western Conference, likely out of playoff contention as well. But the Pels need to win this one if they want to jump them and maybe keep their long shot odds at a playoff spot alive. Dallas, they've done an interesting mix of things with the Pelicans this year. You remember some disappointing losses, some wins against them. Those are all good. Dallas largely has fallen out of playoff contention the past couple of games. They look pretty bad. Just suffered a heartbreaking defeat to the OKC Thunder on a last-second Russell Westbrook shot. You know, they're not great offensively. They're ranked 25th. Out of 30 in the league. So the Pels defense should be able to handle them. If they don't, that there's larger concerns here. Defensively, they're in the top half by a little bit. So you will just want to see continued improvement from the Pelicans. You know, Dallas plays with one of the slowest paces in the league. They want to slow this game down. The Pels need to force the tempo, play in transition. They've done a very good job of playing in transition with DeMarcus Cousins as the trailing man to hit that open three as teams forget about him when he's trudging down the court after a defensive rebound. I want to see that. I'd like to see Cheick Diallo get some playing time in this. Give Quinn Cook an extended run. You know, maybe get him out there with the starters and Drew Holiday a little bit sooner than you would otherwise, maybe before Jordan Crawford, who struggled the last two games for the Pelicans. But this would be a good one just to continue building on what they've done. You know, I'm not too worried about that lottery pick. I just want to see improvement and getting a head start on next year. Dallas, with their bad offense, this is a good game where you can go out and win, show some fans how fun this team can be, that you have a good offense. So if they play their game, push the pace, hit a couple of threes that they need to, Solomon Hill, we're looking at you. I think they can win this game and, you know, kind of build on this over the next four games, which are at home overall, before going 4 on the road to close out the year in the form of 2 back-to-backs, which is going to be really tough. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. We're going to talk a lot more about Drew Holiday over the rest of the week. The Pels do have that massive decision they need to make regarding him, so it's going to be interesting. I'm going to give you some reasons why they should keep him, though, too. It's not all negative here on Locked On Pelicans. So I'm your host, Jake Madison. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Audioboom. Follow it on Twitter and social media. It's at Locked On Pels on Twitter. Please give it a like on Facebook. You know, it only takes you guys a second, and that really matters when it comes to keeping this free and 5 days a week for you all. We're coming to you like no other Pelicans podcast is, so do me this one little favor. I would really appreciate it. So enjoy the game tonight. Go Pelicans. Hopefully they get a win. But no matter what, I'll be back with you guys tomorrow to recap it all.